So what is something that sort of everybody loves, or, you know a lot of people who like a certain thing that you just don't get or you don't like?
When I was in second grade, we had to make posters for like All About Me. And I was the only person in the second grade class to not include. You want to guess what?
Second grade?
Yeah. What cool thing?
Pokemon?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was the only one that did not like.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That was right around the time Pokemon the movie 2000 came out.
Do you judge me for that?
A little bit. I mean.
Maybe I had some like really unfortunate event surrounding Bulbasaur or something. Who's Bulbasaur?
Bulbasaur?
Who's that?
It's 2023 and you're saying Bulbasaur?
What's his name?
Bulbasaur?
Close enough.
And not close enough.
And Squirtle?
Have some respect.
And Echo?
Echo?
This is Who's the one that's like the mermaid?
This is a brutal opening.
Who's the mermaid?
What do you mean mermaid?
She's like a mermaid.
What are you talking about?
She's like she's like a mermaid Pokemon.
There's a mermaid Pokemon?
She's got like a bikini top. And
you're talking about Jinx?
Yeah.
You're talking about Jinx. That is Jinx.
Echo, obviously.
Jinx is not a mermaid.
When I got older, I was like really ashamed because I didn't like root beer and barbecue chips.
I can give or take barbecue chips. I think they're good and I crave them sometimes. They're not like a top chip of mine, but root beer rules.
I never liked it. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then now.
That I understand.
As an adult, I just like my reality TV card carrying member needs to be taken away because I don't like 90 Day Fiance.
Wow. Wow. Not a 90 Day head?
Nope.
Neither am I. So.
So it's a shame, but those are mine. What about you?
Well, I mean, the obvious one for me would be Taylor Swift, but I don't need to.
Oh, we don't need to.
I don't need to beat that into the ground.
Listen, watch Eras Tour.
No.
You will eventually.
Will I? Why would I?
Because it's going to be nominated for Best Picture.
Okay. If it's nominated for Best Picture,
you'll have
to watch it.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm happy to make that bet.
Okay.
For me, there's a lot of stuff, honestly. I was pretty annoying growing up.
Contrarian.
Yeah. I mean, I would say every like 2000s rom-com was never really my thing.
Okay.
You know? I didn't get why people liked 500 Days of Summer.
Okay. You would like it more now.
I feel like I would like it less now.
Oh, no. I think you'd like it more.
Everything I see about it, I'm like, ugh. I just don't. It's not. Don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, things like that. Or things like, I'm at that point with Marvel now. But I think that, like, it's not like everyone loves Marvel anymore. So yeah. I'm not really sure that counts.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I think I was off the train a little bit before a lot of people. And I think it's because it's just not, like, nothing matters. Nothing means anything.
Mm.
And I agree. I understand how some people are like, well, it's just to turn your brain off. But, like, I honestly don't function that way.
You could just watch 90 Day Fiancé.
I could just watch 90 Day Fiancé. And I bet that there are bigger stakes in 90 Day Fiancé because those people's lives.
Yeah, look at Big
Ed. Some of them are probably messed up.
Yep.
After 90 Day Fiancé or before.
So is a couple of people from Marvel now.
Yeah. Yep. One big one at least.
Yep.
Yeah. So those are the things I would bah humbug.
Okay, Scrooge.
Okay.
Okay, we are here. We are sick, and we're not that sick anymore.
No, we're on the back end.
I'm a little sick. You're, like, not.
I'm fine.
Our baby's pretty good. Yeah. Minus the diaper rash.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not a parent, that happens after the cold.
Yeah. And I don't like it.
Me either. So today we've got a classic to many, but a new classic to us.
Yeah. We hadn't seen this until what, like last year?
Last year.
Yeah.
The holiday season is coming to an end.
It's the holiday season.
We're going to be talking about a Christmas movie.
We are.
It's 1992's The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Year I was born.
Oh, yeah. I was an old lady.
A great year.
I was an old lady at that point. This movie was adapted from the Charles Dickens novella. If you don't know, now you know. And it was, it's actually really good.
The novella?
Yeah.
Charles Dickens is like one of the, obviously one of the greatest writers of all time.
He's like kind of good, I guess. And this movie was directed by Brian Henson. Do you know who he is?
Jim Henson's son?
He was Jim Henson's son. So Jim Henson was the well-known creator of the Muppets. He was brought on to Sesame Street and he added the Muppets there. He went, he did Fraggle Rock.
He did.
Which, remember I got a Fraggle Rock thing?
No.
Recently where like it was playing, was it you? That was there with me?
Your other husband, probably.
Maybe. Someone played like the first 2 seconds of Fraggle Rock and I was like, oh, that's Fraggle Rock.
Might have been.
And so I like did not know this about Jim Henson. He died in his like early 50s.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you know what else he directed?
Jim Henson? Yeah, Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
I didn't know that. He died in his like early 50s.
Yeah, he was young.
From strep.
Oh, really?
He ended up getting toxic shock syndrome from strep throat.
Jeez.
What the heck?
I don't like that.
And that was in 1990.
I don't like that.
Apparently it led to like this whole big thing of people being like, I didn't think that that like happened anymore. That people could like die that quickly from a quick, like a, what we thought was an easy, like, oh, you got strep. Oh, that stinks kind of thing. Like he died.
That is crazy.
And if he would went to the hospital, he was like, this is kind of crazy too. He was like, I like feel like I'm actually dying, but I'm going to like not go to the hospital yet. And then he eventually had to go. And they said if he had showed up a couple hours earlier, he would have lived.
That's sad.
Isn't that really sad?
Yeah.
So there you go. So his son directed this movie.
Frank Oz, who plays Kermit, was, I'm reading literally right now, he was Henson's closest friend.
Yeah.
And he said in a 2021 interview that the stress of negotiating with Disney, he thinks,
caused his sickness.
Or like made it worse.
Oh, gosh. That's really sad. So Brian Henson is currently married to Mia Sara, who played Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's
what she's up to nowadays.
Yeah.
Married to Brian Henson.
He did a lot of puppeteer work, and he also directed Muppet Treasure Island.
Okay.
But this was his directorial debut. The decision to make this movie was...
I think, wasn't Jim supposed to direct this? And then they were kind of like... Brian just kind of like stepped up to the plate afterwards.
So it says here, like the decision to make the movie was made after his death in 1990.
Oh, okay.
And it was originally pitched as a TV movie.
Okay.
And they brought it directly to his son. That's what I read on Wikipedia.
Okay.
But
no,
it was
yeah, no.
Skimming situation.
So I skimmed as well. So.
Okay.
Clearly.
Longtime Muppets writer Jerry Jewell was the screenwriter for this movie, and he's mainly known for Muppets stuff. He was like, I'm sticking with Muppets.
Listen. Muppets are my jam.
You know? Starring Michael Caine, the Muppet Christmas Carol was filmed in England, with some shots being complicated due to the mix of real and Muppet actors. So often, Michael Caine would have to walk on these, like, narrow planks in order to avoid the puppeteers while filming.
Oh, yeah. While they're, like, walking next to him.
It's pretty cool, right? So Muppet Christmas Carol was anticipated to be a huge success by Disney. They were like, we're going to make it the big like holiday release of the year, but it didn't do what they thought. It opened at 6th in the box office upon its release in December 1992. And it faced stiff competition from movies like Home Alone 2 and Aladdin. Its own Disney did itself in there.
Disney said, listen, we are taking Christmas no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. So it ended up making $27.2 million on a $12 million budget. So I guess you could call it like a modest success.
Sure.
And it did receive relatively positive reviews critically, but the music from Miles Goodman, who...
Poor Miles.
He ended up doing Little Shop of Horrors, the music from that, which Frank Oz directed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that was criticized a little bit. Because every song sounded the same, which honestly is a very fair criticism.
A lot of them sounded like pirate shanties.
Because like three songs in, I turned to Tom and I'm like, all these songs sound the same.
I thought they got better towards the end. I thought the second half had better songs.
Yeah, they had songs that at least sounded a little bit different from each other.
Yeah.
And one of the songs actually...
Tiny Tim gets involved.
Yeah, he's so cute. And one of the songs was actually cut from the theatrical version, which is so weird because number one, they did a reprise at the end of the movie. It's like the whole big thing at the end of the song. And it literally would have added 2 minutes to the movie. Like, why would they cut it? I don't understand it. And the movie's like 80 something minutes long. So I don't know why they would cut it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
strange.
You can now, which we didn't do this because I forgot until like the second time we were watching it, because it takes 2 to 3 times every time now to watch.
Oh, a movie. Yeah, it's been like well over a month since we've gotten through a movie in one sitting.
Yes. And like you can go to Disney Plus and go to the like extended version or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's like the 30th anniversary version or whatever. And that will play that song too.
We should have done that.
It's like a Michael Caine love interest sort of thing. Ooh. Yeah. And
is there that the girl that he was with? Was,
yes, yeah. They have a song. And that would have played it, but you have to like do a whole thing to get it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, so that is all I have for the Muppet Christmas Carol. There's actually like not even that much. Oh, I do have an NJ connection though.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Get connected for free. Free with the New Jersey connection. So Rizzo Rat.
Yeah.
My guy.
Rizzo the Rat.
He's my dude. He is from New Jersey.
He is. He just says the so. Rat. He says he, so.
While in the movie, while being chased by a cat, he yells, "I'm from New Jersey." I don't know why he's yelling.
As if like the like, cat what, would the stop. The cat's
going to be like, "Oh, I'm scared of you."
Oh, wow. That would yeah, you got connections.
Is? I was just like, you connected? Okay. So you just got connected for free. New Jersey connection. Reminds me of when Chucky said, "You think you can scare me? I'm yeah. from Jersey."
No, he said, "You think I'm afraid of hell?" Or
oh, yeah. I'm from Jersey. So Rizzo the Rat is also from New
Rizzo
Jersey.
The Rat and Chucky are both from Jersey.
I mean, it doesn't get better than well, that.
Rizzo the Rat, named after, as we found out.
Rat Rizzo.
Ratso Rizzo from Midnight
Cowboy. I'm walking here.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman, baby.
That's a great movie. It's also rated X. And I said this to Tom out of nowhere yesterday when we were driving.
I think it was today.
Or today. I just go, why was that rated? That shouldn't have been rated X.
Yeah, it's true. It really shouldn't have.
It's a very like mild rated R movie today.
Muppet Christmas Carol shouldn't have been rated X either.
It should have been rated A for A plus.
Wait, what? So good. Rated A for A plus.
Because it was so good.
Why wouldn't it just be rated A plus?
Because it's almost 8 p.m. I'm usually in bed by 8
p.m. It's past 8 p.m.
Is it really?
8:01.
I see. That's why. That's. Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh, that's not good.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So, we know it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's like Kermit.
There's no taglines.
Oh.
For this movie. Well, that's why it didn't do that well.
No, I mean, it didn't do that well because it's the Muppet Christmas Carol. And people were probably like, what?
Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol is one of the like most famous like fictional stories ever, though.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about it. On Christmas Eve in 19th century London, Charles Dickens, played by Gonzo,
yeah,
and his friend Rizzo.
Rizzo the Rat.
Addressed the audience as narrators. New Jersey's own Rizzo the Rat.
I wonder where from Jersey he's from.
I don't know. We should find
probably
out.
Probably Atlantic City.
Ebenezer Scrooge, played by Michael Caine, a greedy, penny-pinching, and lonely moneylender, does not share the merriment of Christmas. He rejects his nephew Fred's invitation to Christmas dinner, dismisses people collecting money for charity, and tosses a wreath at a carol-singing bean bunny. His kind, humble employee Bob Cratchit, played by Kermit the Frog, and the other bookkeepers request to take Christmas Day off since there will be no business for Scrooge on the day, to which he reluctantly agrees. Because, yeah, that makes sense. In his house, Scrooge encounters the shackled ghosts of his late business partners, Jacob and Robert Marley, played by Statler and Waldorf, right?
Yes. That's their names. I forgot.
Yeah.
Who? Sorry, I'm looking up where from New Jersey is Wizard of the Rat from.
This is important information.
I'm not getting an answer. Oh. Oh, no. Hold on. Just keep going.
The Marleys warn Scrooge to repent for his wicked ways or be condemned to suffer in the afterlife as they do. They let him know that three spirits will visit him during the night. At 1 o'clock, Scrooge is visited by the childlike ghost of Christmas past, who takes him back in time to his childhood and early adult life with Dickens and Rizzo hitching a ride, too. They visit his lonely school days and then his time as an employee under Fozziwig, who was Mr. Fezziwig in the original story. Just so happens to be there's a Fozzie Bear.
I can talk about Fezziwigs.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Who owned a rubber chicken factory. Fozziwig and his mother throw a Christmas party where Scrooge meets a young woman named Belle with whom he falls in love. However, the ghost shows Scrooge how Belle left him after he chose money over her. A tearful Scrooge asks the ghost to leave him as he returns to his bedroom. At 2 o'clock, Scrooge meets the gigantic, merry Ghost of Christmas Present, who shows him the joys and wonder of Christmas Day. They visit Fred's house, where Scrooge is made fun of for his stinginess and general ill will towards all. Scrooge and the spirit then visit Bob Cratchit's house, learning his family is content with their small dinner. Scrooge also takes pity on Bob's ill son, Tiny Tim. The Ghost of Christmas Present abruptly ages, commenting that Tiny Tim will likely die.
Yep.
Scrooge and the ghost go to a cemetery, where the ghost fades away. The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, a tall, silent, cloaked figure, takes Scrooge into the future and shows him a group of businessmen discussing the death of an unnamed colleague, saying they would only attend the funeral if lunch was provided. Mm-hmm. In a den, Scrooge sees a chairwoman, a laundress, and a local undertaker trading several stolen possessions of the deceased to a fence named Old Joe. The ghost then transports Scrooge to Bob's house, revealing Tiny Tim has died and the Cratchits are mourning him. Scrooge is escorted back to the cemetery, where the ghost points out the wretched man's neglected grave. Scrooge, of course, wipes the snow away to see his own name. Scrooge tearfully vows to change his ways and embraces the ghost's robes before finding himself back in his bedroom. Discovering it is Christmas Day, a gleeful Scrooge decides to surprise Bob's family with a turkey dinner and ventures out with Bean, Dickens, Rizzo, and the charity workers to spread happiness and joy around London, reconciling with Fred and Fozziwig. Scrooge goes to the Cratchit house, at first putting on a cold demeanor before revealing he intends to raise Bob's salary and pay off his mortgage. Scrooge, the Cratchits, Fred, and the neighborhood celebrate Christmas as Dickens narrates how Scrooge became a second father to Tiny Tim, who escaped death.
Mm-hmm.
Like forever?
Yeah, forever.
Okay. I mean, he is a Muppet, so.
Yeah, he can't do whatever he wants.
I don't know the mortality of Muppets. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, me either.
Kermit is still alive.
He is. It's a rainbow connection.
Yep.
So do you want to know a little bit about Muppets in New Jersey?
I would love to know about the Muppets in
New
Jersey.
So I'm on the Muppets Wiki. Look at all the connections Muppets have to New Jersey.
This is perhaps the most New Jersey connected movie we've done yet.
It is insane. Actually, the Muppets in general seem to be really into New Jersey. So
we seem like their vibe.
Yeah, definitely. A bunch of like Muppet people are from New Jersey or like
Frank
whatever.
Oz?
I don't know if Frank Oz is.
Ugh.
But what I do know is that.
No, he's from the UK.
Oh, okay. What I do know is that, he doesn't say that he's like where he's from in New Jersey, Rizzo the Rat, but he does say he's from Jersey. And my favorite one out of all these, you can look at Muppet Wiki for all of these like cool things. But the best one is, you know, Pepe the King Prawn.
Yes.
He was
in a window.
He's obsessed here. With New Jersey, and he said his favorite vacation spot is Camden, New Jersey.
Oh my. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. And there's like, yeah, they make fun of New Jersey a lot.
What do you mean make fun of New Jersey?
They make fun of New Jersey. Like, for example, on the Muppet Show Live, Miss Piggy appeared on a TV monitor and told Kermit she couldn't appear at Muppet Fest because she was busy at Piggy Fest, a celebration of all things moi. And let me tell you, Bayonne is lovely this time
of
year.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Bayonne.
So
my dad used to work there.
It's pretty cool. So you can look up Muppet Wiki for more things about New Jersey and the Muppet universe.
We would. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let me get to my questions here. Michael Caine plays this serious, and he said that he played it like he was at, like, it was like the Royal Shakespeare Company. Like, he was pretending like he was not talking to Muppets the whole time. And that's what really makes this movie work for me, is that this whole time Michael Caine is literally doing Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he means business.
Dead serious.
Dead serious. And he's so good. Not that the Muppets aren't good. They're all really good as well. But, like, obviously there's a funniness to them. Michael Caine does not play it funny. And I really like that about him. I'm wondering, you could go in the same direction as how Michael Caine played it, or maybe a different version, which I thought of. Who would you want to play Ebenezer Scrooge in a revamped Muppet Christmas Carol?
Frances McDormand.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think you get the edge there. Like, Michael Caine is just crotchety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Scrooge is crotchety. Frances McDormand, there's like, she's in some movies, there's like an edge of violence to her, which is more than Michael Caine gives you.
Yeah.
And she's scary.
She can be.
She can be when she's not always. Like, she's hilarious in Burn After Reading.
And Nomadland, she's not scary.
No, yeah, not at all. But when she turns it on in Fargo, obviously, but sometimes she turns it on.
Yeah, Three Billboards.
Three Billboards is what I was thinking of.
Uh-huh.
And she, yeah, I think like if I'm Gonzo, I don't know if I'm following that Scrooge.
That's pretty good. My choice. So I saw that they looked into George Carlin.
I have that in my, yes.
A possible Ebenezer Scrooge. So I thought maybe, what about Bill Burr?
Bill Burr.
I think Bill Burr would be a really good Ebenezer Scrooge.
He would be the opposite in the fact that he would sort of, I feel like he would be calling out. It would be more meta.
Right.
He would be calling out what was happening. Instead
it would be
of,
interesting.
Instead of acting like he was acting with real people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that would be an interesting take.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could also see like Lawrence Fishburne doing a good job.
I mean, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I just think, or Defoe.
Oh like, my gosh.
Defoe, yeah, I would probably go McDormand or Defoe.
That's good. That's real good. All right, cool. So they did Muppet Christmas Carol and then they did Muppet Treasure Island, which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen Treasure Island
is,
either.
What's his name's in it? Tim Curry's in it, right?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. I think you're right.
So I'm wondering, are there any classic works of literature that you would love to see a revival of that subgenre?
I'm actually looking at our bookshelf right now.
I can give you mine.
Yeah, go for it.
I would really like a Muppet Pride and Prejudice.
Anything Jane Austen or like a Wuthering Heights.
I would anything Bronte.
Like big yeah. romance.
Anything Austen, anything Bronte.
Of course, Miss Piggy would crush it in those.
Well, Miss Piggy is definitely going to play the main part.
Yeah.
And then you've got Elizabeth, right? And then yes. Darcy. I still want Matt McFadden.
Okay.
I know it's 20 years after he did Darcy, but I want Matthew McFadden and Miss Piggy.
And she's, even though she's obsessed with Kermit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, she's acting.
Okay, that is true. She can get into the role. Totally. Though one of my trivias here is that Miss Piggy did an interview after Muppet Christmas Carol, and she said the only reason that she accepted such a small role in this, she was Bob Cratchit's wife,
is
because she got to marry Kermit.
Yeah. It's she's so good. There's nothing better than that love story.
There's nothing better than the Muppets doing interviews as the Muppets.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't say like Frank Oz played Bob Cratchit. No, Kermit played Bob Cratchit.
Kermit plays Bob Cratchit. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to go with Pride and Prejudice with Miss Piggy and Matthew McFadden.
I like The Great Gatsby.
Oh, that would be good.
I think you go with who would be I'm not sure
who'd be Gatsby.
I'm not sure who Gatsby would be. I feel like what was his name? Nick Carraway?
Mm-hmm.
Is that that or is that Sun Also Rises?
No, that's
the one who Tobey Maguire was in the movie.
Yeah.
That would have to be Kermit, I think.
You think so?
I think Kermit's the everyman.
And then what is Miss Piggy Daisy?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
And then, so...
What about Animal as Gatsby?
Animal as Gatsby. Animal as Gatsby. Yeah.
I think that's
And then there
good.
Was the other guy, right? Buchanan?
Yeah.
Tom Buchanan. Who, I don't know. I just feel like that's, I feel like that's Fozzie Bear.
Aw.
No, maybe it's Gonzo.
You think it's Gonzo?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's got to be somebody who's a little bit more off the wall. Maybe it's Rat.
Rizzo Rat.
It's Rizzo the Rat. Rizzo the Rat is Tom Buchanan.
That'd be kind of wild. All right, I like it. I thought maybe we could do like Muppet the Stranger, but that is
a little existential. Yeah, Statler and Waldorf would be the guys on the beach, right?
That is very much a very Englishy joke there.
Yes.
Yeah. So who is your favorite character in Muppet Christmas Carol besides Michael Caine?
We've been talking a lot about Rizzo the Rat, to be honest. He's got a lot of bangers in this one.
Kind of slaps, I gotta say. He's kind of amazing.
But actually, you know who I loved? I loved Statler and Waldorf as the Marley brothers.
Oh, they were
brothers.
So funny. They're like, Marley and Marley.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And like them and Michael Caine in the same room is like just, it's a
Electric.
Match made in heaven. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I thought that they were all pretty good. Like, I didn't think that there was a weak link, really. Like,
no.
Cratchit played, you know, Kermit played his role. Miss Piggy played her role. She had a couple little jokes in there.
Yep. She's so funny.
Gonzo was a good narrator.
Yeah.
Fozzie was good. Animal was good. There's a lot. Was Beaker in it?
Beaker. Yeah. Beaker was in it.
I think I missed Beaker.
He, they were the ones that, like, he donated to or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were all good. I don't think there's a wrong choice in this movie, but I got the most laughs from Rizzo.
Me too. I think Rizzo is the best. He, I like when the joke how they kept getting pushed out of like the window.
Yeah. Oh, and they were like, oh, he's happy now. What's the problem at the end? And then he just like Michael Caine's now happy and he's flinging the windows
it's
open.
So it's so good. Yeah. I thought that the sets were really good in this movie too.
Oh yeah. I mean the whole putting the whole project together, it reminded me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, yeah. Where except this is probably even more difficult. Given the fact that they had to literally make different sets.
Well, they made the sets a little bit smaller, yeah. Which you could see, like, Michael Caine kind of ducking to go into Kermit's house a yeah. couple times.
Well, but that also makes sense because Kermit's smaller, so why would he have a big house?
True.
You know, in canon, it makes sense. Of course.
What would make this movie better? That's my last question. What would make this movie better?
What would make this movie better? Better songs.
Yeah.
I think maybe a little bit more of a... A little bit more exposure to the ghosts.
Okay.
I think that the ghosts were... They each kind of served their purpose. And
the
they
ghosts are like my least favorite part.
That's what, right.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the ghost... what is it? Christmas Yet to Come?
Yes. Yeah. We
because it's just like a dementor that doesn't talk. I kind of love that because it's like... You have the ghost of Christmas Past who's like a child.
Yeah.
You have the ghost of Christmas Present who literally forgets what he said 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
The ghost of the future is nobody knows what the future holds. Mm-hmm. So it's just blackness and darkness. And that's all it is with a robe over it.
Yeah.
I love that like conceptualization of it. And also, it was very Grim Reaper-like, which...
It was.
The one thing we do know about the future is that everyone's going to die. So
yep.
I like the idea that they designed the character like that. But the other two... I liked the jokes of the Christmas present not remembering what he said 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I think that's a funny little bit.
And him, like, dying right away because yeah. like, the present is constantly, like,
constantly
ending.
Shifting. Yeah. But I don't think that... I think that they're... Maybe it's just the designs that I didn't like of the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they felt less Muppety.
But that was, I think, the point.
Well, yeah, originally they, like, had Muppets as the ghosts.
They wanted...
Like, no.
I think... I don't remember who was supposed to be who.
Gonzo was supposed to be one of them.
Miss Piggy was supposed to be one of them, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. But I kind of like the idea that they went hard into, these are not Muppets. This is ominous and scary. But
yeah, except for the first two.
I'm saying I like the concept.
Yeah.
And I don't think the execution was great.
No, I mean Waldorf two. And whoever.
Oh, you mean Statler and Waldorf? The,
yeah.
Marley Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently they do a duet in every movie, in every Muppets
oh, really?
Thing. So they had
they're
to,
so funny.
They put their duet in there.
They're my favorite part of the Muppet 3D show in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, they're very Ebert, Siskel and Ebert.
They are. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I would probably... It's the songs and the ghosts could be a little better.
Yeah, it's the songs for me, for sure. I'm just like, okay, they all are the same. I want one standout.
Yeah, there wasn't really. But it seemed like you mentioned earlier, the last song was supposed to be the standout, but
yeah,
it was
but
a reprise of one that we didn't
why
hear.
Why would you cut it then? I don't understand.
Right.
But yeah, that's mine. That's all I got for questions.
Okay. Did you have a lot of Muppet exposure growing up or no?
Yes and no. Like, I watched Sesame Street.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't
that's
really,
like Muppet adjacent.
We didn't really clarify that because Jim Henson made Sesame Street too.
Yeah, he was brought on to Sesame Street and like helped create the... Puppets.
Right. Like Kermit started on Sesame Street.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. I agree. I watched, it was the same for me. I watched Sesame Street. I like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
They're the gang right there.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Oscar the Grouch.
Cookie Monster.
What was Grover's deal?
Well, Grover, let me tell you, my exposure to the freaking Muppets, it goes through Grover because who I get confused with Gonzo.
Oh,
all
yeah.
the time. So Grover had a roller coaster at Sesame Place, which is in Pennsylvania. That was pretty, it's pretty close to where we live now, actually.
Yeah.
It's close to where I grew up. And the Girl Scouts took a trip to Sesame Place and we stayed overnight, which was so fun. But then in the morning, the next morning, all I had was like a ton of fruit punch and giant cookies. So I went on Grover's roller coaster 7 times in a row.
I think I know where this is headed.
And then on the drive home, it was in somebody else's car. I threw up, but I made sure I put my coat on backwards and just had the thing open.
That is disgusting.
And so I just threw up into the hood of my coat.
That is
which
disgusting.
Which was fur lined. The whole ride home.
That's pretty gross.
So that's my exposure to the Muppets.
Shout out the Muppets.
Shout out to the Muppets.
Shout out Grover.
Yeah.
I didn't watch much Muppets growing up.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of
any
movies.
Muppet fans that are listening to this episode can tell that we're not.
Oh yeah.
That we weren't like huge.
I
like
the Muppets a lot.
I had never had any issues with the Muppets. We saw the Muppets 2011 or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I love the Muppets. Yeah. I just don't I haven't seen much of their stuff.
I didn't grow up with the Muppets.
Right.
I mean, obviously us watching this, I'm willing to.
Oh, I definitely want to see more.
I just wasn't really my, what my parents showed me when I was younger. It was more Sesame Street. When we're talking Muppets, the species. yeah, so not a whole lot, but obviously was familiar with the big ones.
Yeah, of course.
How would you feel if you visited your past school? Like if you were 30, if you were in your 30s and you got brought back to like your like fourth grade?
That'd be fun. I loved fourth grade. I was in honors English.
Of course you were.
And I had Mr. Roach, who I still am in, you know, contact with a little bit today. And he, every day, we learned about a new artifact. He would bring in an antique from his house. And we would have to guess what that antique was. And then after we would go through, we would look at it. We would, like, try and figure out what it actually, like, what the purpose was. We would write down our answer. And then he would give us a little history lesson on that little antique. And it was so fun. And then he gave us little salts. Do you know what those are? Like, they were little cups that you use to put salt on your food. And so he had like a bunch of them.
I didn't know that.
And then, so we each got one. So I loved fourth grade. I loved school. I loved my elementary school. And even though the, like, it's really old. It's an old school. It was like from like 1905 it was built. And 1910, something like that. And it's like, you could tell. But it was so much fun, and I loved it. And then I went to, if I went to the school I went into in fourth grade, it's now an old people's home.
Okay.
They changed it to an old people's home.
Yeah, but you would be in a memory. We don't know if there's still the school in Christmas Carol.
I guess you're right. So, yeah, I loved that school, too. And that's also where I had a lot of basketball practices.
Okay.
So, I had great memories. What about you?
It's not that I have bad memories, but I think if I went back and saw myself in like when I was like 12,
yeah,
when I was like, I would be like, this guy, oh my God.
It's so funny that you say that because tomorrow you're going to see me when I was like 12.
Oh yeah, they found home movies.
Yeah, my cousin Kate found home movies. And so we're going to, apparently there's a video of me very, very intently and seriously dancing to Sean Paul. So,
I mean, who among us hasn't? If you grew up in that time period, you've danced to Sean Paul.
I was a very unfortunate looking 12-year-old.
We all were unfortunate looking 12-year-olds.
I still haven't quite had my glow up. So, you know, sometimes you got to just go with it. So hopefully they find the American Idol one we did. They did find the Potato Lady, which I have mentioned before.
Which we have talked about.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a little video of me as the Potato Lady.
Yeah.
Video of the video where I'm wearing like, I'm like, oh. It depends on how.
Yeah, we don't know how this turns. We don't know what this is going to look
like. How it aged. But yeah.
We may do a little Potato Lady talk.
We may not.
We may not.
Depending. So yeah, so what we're about to see, we're about to have my little Christmas Carol. Because you've never seen videos of me from back then.
No.
No.
I don't even have videos of me from back then.
They're probably out there somewhere.
They're really not.
No?
No.
Well, I have a ton, so we're about to see it. And I literally said at the brunch today, I was like, Tom's going to take one look at that and they'll just divorce me.
I mean, it's kind of hard to do that. That's the problem.
What, divorce? It is. I guess you're stuck with the Potato Lady for now.
If you could be a ghost of a certain time or place, what would it be?
That's a really good question.
It doesn't have to be a holiday. It could be like you could be the ghost of Arbor Day future.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or you could be the ghost of Burlington, New Jersey's past.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer while I think about it?
Sure, I'll make one up.
Okay.
I
have an answer.
Okay, go for it.
All right. So mine is connected to the movie.
Sure.
So Fozzie Bear plays Fozziewig, right? So that's really, the guy's name is Fezziwig.
Fezziwig.
So Hamilton, New Jersey used to have a barred grill called Fezziwig's. And it was like, I think it's like a shop right now on 33, on Route 33 in Hamilton. And so we would always go to Fezziwigs, and we stopped calling it Fezziwigs because we got the kids like placemats that you can like draw on and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was all like talking vegetables. And so we called it Veggiewigs. So we would always like beg them to take us to Veggiewigs. So I would probably be the ghost of Fezziwigs, just like wandering the aisles of ShopRite asking where, like, if you wanted the pretzel with the beer cheese.
And then, so like you would be there now.
But I would like think it's Fezziwigs.
Right.
But nobody else knows.
Right.
And so I'd be like, did you order the nachos? And they'd be like,
who is this? Why are you talking to me? You're transparent.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, have you ever heard of Fezziwigs? Because I looked it up online yesterday, and like Chris Watt Rollins from PST, which is like a
radio station.
She was like, she liked Fezziwigs, you could tell. But like, it's hard to find anything else.
It's on the article is local bars you loved but aren't open anymore.
There you go. And Fezziwigs is there. I could find no pictures of Fezziwigs.
Well, at least you know through PST that it exists.
At least I know it existed.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that...
The comment on it is the best.
The best. It's Fezziwigs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where would you ghost it up?
I feel like I would just want to be a bowling alley ghost.
That's fun.
You know why? Because there are certain types of personalities of people that go to bowling alleys.
That's for sure.
Really
cool people.
It could be past, present, or future. Actually, probably not future. I don't know how long like the bowling alleys are going to exist in the way that they exist now.
Mm.
Because I feel like they're all going to end up being like boleros and like that type of like wacky arcade bowling.
Yeah, but then you could watch Wayne's World 2 75 times a night on 50 screens.
I'm thinking like one of those old dingy bowling alleys.
Yeah.
That like cosmic bowling type stuff.
Like Pabst.
Yeah. Like what's the
Pabst turned into Cheyenne Outfitters.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That's a shame.
Yeah, Pabst was like smoke filled.
There's a place up on Route 1 near Menlo Park Mall. That was Majestic Lanes. That was the...
What about Slocum's?
Slocum's at in Ewing, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What's the one that
Slocum's? I wouldn't really want to go to.
What was the one that was across from where I lived?
Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis.
Yeah,
Lanes.
Curtis Lanes. I'm way too familiar with these bowling alleys.
Did I live across from Slocum's or Curtis?
No, you live near Slocum's.
Yeah.
Curtis was around the other, or on one of the other roads.
All right. How about the fact that across from Slocum's was a liquor store? Do you remember?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What was it called? All the time.
I don't remember.
It was Paul's.
Paul's,
right?
Yes. I was thinking Ray's, but that was the sub shop.
When I did my student teaching, not my big one, but like my junior one, it was with some guy that like he was fine, but he was like, "Oh yeah, you live in Ewing. Oh, you live by Raoul's." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "You live by Raoul's."
He thought it was
Raoul's. And I was like, "Paul's?" And he was like, "No, it's Raoul's." So I was like, "Am I crazy?" And so I went there once and I was like, have you always been Paul's? And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, not Raoul's. And they're like, no. I don't think I ever told you that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But Ray's, the sub shop, was nearby too. It was right on Pennington.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So that was a walk through TC&J.
So you would be a ghost at TC&J, maybe.
I would be a ghost maybe at TC&J, but just some nondescript, dingy bowling alley.
Yeah.
Because I just love the atmosphere. Yeah. Not enough to actually do it and like join a league and stuff. Like we have a friend, we have Nick Palesi, if he's listening, who's like a bowler. He's like,
we all know Uncle Nick.
In a bowling league. So like I don't have that in me because that's a lot of a commitment, but I love the idea. I love the smell of a bowling alley.
Yeah.
I love a bowling alley.
I like going bowling. It's fun.
I like going bowling, but I don't like the commitment.
Yeah.
I already do one thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I have one more question.
You're committing to like all time.
Yeah. I have one more question.
Okay.
Does the ghost of Christmas past, the actual ghost of Christmas past in this movie freak you out?
Yeah, it's weird.
She's like a, almost like a mannequin doll type thing, but like her eyes are like all
freaky.
And she's
got all this like toilet paper.
She's like flowy.
Off. Yeah, she floats.
So what they did with that, it's one of my trivias, is they made a special puppet that was in a water tank.
And then they
green screened it into the movie to make it
look
like
amazing.
It was floating.
I love that.
Yeah. Which I think is an awesome idea.
It's so practical.
Whereas the other two were people in costumes. It was,
you could tell.
I think it was the same guy in both costumes.
That is so cool. I did not know that.
Yeah. That's all my questions. Okay. Let's see. I have some notes. In the beginning, Scrooge was like, he was like eating in front of the fireplace or something. And it was like after he'd been miserable to Bob and he coming home and he was like, before he sees the Marleys,
and
I think
he's supposed to be like this like sad sack, like mean guy, whatever.
You just turn to me and you go, this guy lives a great life.
Well, he's eating like a baguette and a like a wedge of cheese. I'm like, this is amazing.
Like, why are we saying that this guy is
like so sad? Like, okay, first of all, he's like chilling. He's got his little hat on and his, you know, little nightdress. He's eating bread and cheese in front of the fireplace before going to bed. And then he goes to his bed, and it's the coolest bed I've ever seen in my life. Four-poster bed with, like, these curtains,
shades,
like,
yeah,
around it. I'm like, this is so cool. Then he's, like, visited by ghosts and stuff. Like, that's not good.
Right.
But, like, before then, psh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I also wrote down, he had a quote. He was talking to Fred, and he was like, what right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. And Fred says, what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough. And Rizzo goes, he's got him there. The old boy's speechless. And Scrooge goes, if I could work my will, every idiot who goes around with Merry Christmas on his lips would be cooked with his own turkey and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Yeah, he means business.
Michael Caine, that's like, we're talking like Henry V level.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff in there. We're talking Hamlet. We're talking
it's legit.
Shakespearean tragedy here.
Yeah.
I love that when the Marleys show up, he immediately blames it on what he ate that night.
Yeah. There's more gravy than grave about you.
Yes, yes. That's a great line. Fozzie gives like a really short speech like at the party.
I like don't even remember Fozzie.
He does this
Fozzie
like...
wig.
So... He like sort of, he has the Christmas party and he goes, he hits the thing or whatever and everyone's like looking at him waiting for a speech and he goes, this is my speech. And he says, thank you all and Merry Christmas. And then that's it. That's the whole speech.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. Straight into the point. And Statler and Waldorf said it was a great speech.
It's what I love in Oscar speeches too.
Absolutely. It's either that or it's got to be something like off the wall.
Yes.
We just got a live opinion of an Oscar movie from Aaron's dad. So he has not been a fan of some of the recent movies that he's watched, including Asteroid City, the Wes Anderson movie from a few months ago. And he just texted Aaron and said, watched Maestro, the Bradley
Only
Cooper movie.
Only slightly better than Asteroid City.
Only slightly
which he
better.
He notoriously hates.
Yeah.
He hated it. I truly love my parents watching Oscar movies.
Yeah.
Because their opinions are iconic.
Yeah.
So far, my mom has hated pretty much all, not hated, but not liked any of the odds. She's seen like a ton of them.
Yeah.
She's like, May December boring. Barbie hits you on the head.
Oppenheimer too long.
She's like, I like the holdovers, but that's
did she get
she's
to like Killers of the Flower Moon yet?
Oh, God. I know that's not going to go well. And then I think about my dad. Parasite sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He literally said, sucked, the best movie of like the past 50 years sucked. It's so good, I love it.
Back to my notes real quick. I have a couple more. One of them I just wrote, Scrooge 8 with the red scarf and top hat at the end.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
okay. When he like turns into Happy Scrooge,
so cute.
When he's like singing the last song.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's a great look with the black, white and red.
Oh yeah.
Woo, the red accent piece.
The fit check is real.
The fit check. I also said, also shout out to him for getting tons of gifts and wrapping them literally on Christmas morning in like 2 minutes.
That's going to be you.
Seriously. Haven't started rapping yet. Yeah, that's it. That's all my notes. Roger Ebert review. He gave the movie 3 stars out of 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Just about.
That's correct.
About right. He said, curious that Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol should be the most beloved of all fictional Christmas stories. It's a tale of gothic gloom, relieved only at the end by the warmth of holiday cheer. In order to enjoy that Christmas turkey with Bob Cratchit and share in Scrooge's redemption, we have to pay heavy dues. Marley's ghost, the rattling of chains, lots of graveyards and skeletons, poverty and suffering, greed and cold, and finally, the spirits of Christmas climaxing with the Grim Reaper. even the Muppets seem a little awed by the solemnity of the tale. Isn't this a little violent for some of the kids in the audience? One of them asks, only to be reminded of the story's artistic importance.
So good.
Like all the Muppet movies, this one is a musical with original songs by Paul Williams. My favorite is the early chain-rattling duet by the Marley Brothers. It could have done with a few more songs than it has, and the merrymaking at the end might have carried on a bit longer just to offset the gloom of most of Scrooge's tour through his lifetime spent spreading misery.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Ebert always right.
Those are things that I would change about the movie, going back to the previous question. There you go. Tom's top five trivia. I mentioned the Ghost of Christmas Past effects. Michael Caine actively pursued this role.
That's cool.
He had missed out on a guest star role on The Muppet Show. Because it was shot in the UK, but he was living in the US as a tax exile at the time. Friends and colleagues who he knew had guested on it, such as Roger Moore, John Cleese, Peter Sellers, and Sylvester Stallone, had told him they had a ton of fun doing
it.
And he said they said it also gave them extra kudos with children.
Yeah, totally.
By the time this film was greenlit, Caine had moved back to the UK. And when he heard it was going to be filmed in a London film studio, he had his agent badger Jim Henson Productions until they agreed to meet with him.
Fair.
He was like, I heard this is a rip-roaring time. We got to get me on
awesome.
This.
And he did awesome.
He did. He considers this one of my other ones. He considers this role to be one of his most memorable.
Totally.
Absolutely. Like, he's known in his late career for being a Nolan guy.
Sure.
But I think if you're thinking Michael Caine in his own, like, star, like, this has got to be up there.
Yep.
Let's see. After Scrooge's conversion, he meets the two charity men on the street, and they're standing in front of a sign for the Grapes Tavern.
Speaker and the pea guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Grapes is the oldest pub in London, dating back to 1583, and was frequently visited by the likes of Shakespeare, Sir Walter Raleigh, Samuel Pepys, and, of course, Charles Dickens.
There you go.
The back parlor of the Grapes to this day has a bunch of Dickens works.
Fun. We gotta go.
Yeah, totally. And finally, in an interview, Kermit the Frog stated that the most important piece of acting advice ever given to him was by Sir Michael Caine on the set of this movie. His advice, never blink.
Never blink. There you go.
Kermit can't blink.
So he's a winner.
Yeah, he is.
There you go.
And casting, you mentioned George Carlin. Peter O'Toole was also considered.
Yeah, he's been good.
The studio originally wanted Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
But he only wanted to play Kermit. And they were like, no.
I like Jack Lemmon.
They were like, let's get Michael Caine on the horn. Okay. So, let's see. Do I have anything else? That might be it.
Yeah, this was a fun one. I like this movie a lot.
It's a good movie. It's a good Christmas movie.
Yeah, rewatchable.
I like the one. See, as I mentioned earlier, like, I'm not a big fan of stuff. It just doesn't work with me. Movies that, like, you turn your brain off for and you have to, like, I'm not saying always, but like, when it comes to even a Christmas movie, like, I would rather watch something like this than watch a brainless Christmas movie. I don't know why. I can't. It's
about
not
Daddy's Home Too.
Yes, I would rather watch this than Daddy's Home Too.
What about Falling for Christmas?
I would rather watch this than Falling for Christmas.
Okay.
Go back and listen to our Falling for Christmas episode if you want. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think there's something meaningful about A Christmas Carol, the story. And I think that when you can not necessarily dilute it or dumb it down, but like make it palatable for kids and the general public without having to read the prose of Charles Dickens.
100%. And there are some Charles Dickens things in there, like lines.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course, like directly from the novel. And they wanted Gonzo to be, because they wanted to retain some element of the novella, so they made him actually Charles Dickens. I don't know. I'm also a big Dickens fan.
Yeah.
So that's just me. I've read a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really like this. I really like the story. I really like the Muppet element to it.
Me too. It's so good.
The Muppet element could have gone awry with some of these stories, especially one that's so serious like A Christmas Carol.
Right.
But it doesn't, and it didn't.
It didn't at all.
No. And it's believable in a movie type way.
I just like I want more movies like this.
More Muppet movies?
More like, I'd like.
Is 2011 or whatever year it was the last Muppet movie?
No, the Muppets Most Wanted was in 2014.
2014? So it's been almost a decade since the last Muppets, like, yes. Big Muppets movie?
What I liked about this movie that I want to see more of in film in general is I like when movies don't take themselves seriously, but take the work seriously.
Yeah.
It doesn't make fun of A Christmas Carol.
No.
It doesn't lessen the artistic importance of the work, but it takes it and it doesn't take the movie itself. It's like, it's fun.
And there's comedy aspects to it.
Yeah. I loved it.
And Charles Dickens is pretty like well known for having pretty much zero comedy in any of his stuff.
So I really like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I want more of that.
Especially for stuff that you sort of want to introduce to a new generation. Like, a lot of people, everyone knows the story of A Christmas Carol, and many people in our generation likely know it from Muppets, which is great. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Because it not only gives you the Muppets Christmas Carol, the Muppet Christmas Carol, it gives you a chance to be like, hey, maybe I'll go read A Christmas Carol. Or maybe I'll go watch the 2009 Christmas Carol with, Jim Carrey?
Yep.
Or there's a bunch, there's like so many adaptations.
I'm sure there's like BBC versions and stuff. Yeah.
Or even I'll go watch the 90s Great Expectations with Robert De Niro and whoever else, I forget who played the main character.
Why not?
Like, it just opens a, you know, younger generation up to a new world.
Yeah.
And it's something that we would show. I mean, it's going to make Baby's First Watch List.
Spoiler.
So, like, it's something that hopefully kids in future generations will still get to see, because I feel like the Muppets will last, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everything people say, like, oh, you know, animation these days and everything these days is so different, but I feel like the Muppets are something that is pretty accessible, and I'm hoping that something like this will continue to be shown to kids and all that.
Yes.
Does the Muppet Christmas Carol make Baby's First Watch List?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that he had watched it with us.
Yeah. He will.
He loves Muppets.
He's starting to like pay attention to stuff.
He was like, he was super into the animated Grinch, the new one.
The 2019 or 18.
Yeah. He just keeps going, Nick, Nick, whenever the Grinch was on.
Yeah. He called him Geek also.
Yeah.
He said Geek.
Geek.
Our son's growing up to be a bully.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He says crazy stuff.
Yeah. Now he's obsessed with Let It Go.
Yeah. He does love Let It Go.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He go.
Bullies us to put it on.
He hands you the remote. He goes, go.
Go. Go. He's so sweet.
He's to the point where he's like getting ready to string two words together, but he's not quite there yet.
Yep. He says a lot of one word.
And he's picking up a lot more words.
Oh, yeah. And he's picking up choreography, too.
He is. He does like the whoosh and Let It Go.
Yeah. And Miss Rachel's Christmas movie. He did a lot of the choreo.
He was like twirling.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah. So definitely makes Baby's First Watch List. I can't wait till we can have him on. Like, and have him talk about. Even if we like pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And, like his, and then put it in afterwards.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun.
I think that would be a fun segment.
Totally.
Yeah, so this was The Muppet Christmas Carol. Hope you had fun. We enjoyed it. Next month, we don't have our movies yet for January because it's been a crazy month. But next week, we are going to have a guest.
Yeah.
At least one guest.
Probably.
We're going to figure out, we're going to figure out exactly what's going to go on. But we have, we are friendly with a movie website called Cinema Sugar. I've mentioned them on the show before. They've asked us questions and all that. So we're going to have at least one of the two people from Cinema Sugar on next week for WALL-E.
Wow.
They are going to do on their website, cinemasugar.com, Hey Cinema Sugar on Instagram. They are going to do an animation themed month. So we're going to take part in that. I'm going to write a little like listicle for them. So we're going to do a little collab. We're going to start that next week with WALL-E.
Woo.
And we will see that. We will see you guys next week for that. Hope you enjoyed Muppet Christmas Carol and keep on sharing and all that. And hope you had a great holiday. This will come out on the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Have a happy new year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.